from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim, in today for Michael Krasny. Former NSA contractor Edward Snowden's revelations about government spying are proving to be costly for Silicon Valley companies. We'll discuss the extent of the damage. And at 9:30, a rare polio-like paralysis has afflicted at least two dozen children in California. But so far, little is known about the illness or its cause. We'll talk to two of the neurologists leading the investigation. That's up ahead on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio, good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim, in today for Michael Krasny. Edward Snowden's leaks of National Security Agency documents are prompting companies and governments worldwide to avoid doing business with U.S. tech firms. Snowden's disclosures revealed how some of Silicon Valley's largest tech companies, like Google and Yahoo, had their data snooped on by NSA. In her New York Times story, staff reporter Claire Kane Miller writes, even as Washington grapples with the diplomatic and political fallout of Mr. Snowden's leaks, the more urgent issue, companies and analysts say, is economic. Claire Kane Miller joins me in studio now, and welcome to Forum.
Thanks for having me.
So what are some examples of how the leaks have been hurting tech companies?
Well, the tech companies have been saying since they started that this could be a major economic risk, but so far it's been hard to pinpoint evidence. In the last few months, though, we've seen more and more evidence mounting that there is really some business fallout. For example, a lot of the companies are having to spend a lot of money in order to reassure foreign companies that their data will be secure. IBM is investing $1.2 billion to build data centers abroad, mostly in Europe and elsewhere, so that its customers can make sure that their data is stored outside of the United States. Google is spending hundreds of millions of dollars to encrypt all of the fiber optic cables that run between its data centers and encrypt other things like Google Search and Gmail so that it's harder for any sort of spy to break into watching it. There's also the potential for lost revenue. It's very hard to quantify a missed opportunity. You don't necessarily know how to say that you didn't have revenue that you would have because there's no way to prove that you would have had it. But there is evidence that European tech companies particularly are gaining customers that previously would have gone to the United States instead.
And you mentioned that's because, in fact, some companies aren't being invited to participate in requests for proposals for various contracts?
That's right. These things called requests for proposals go out. And in the past, a United States company would have been included always because the United States cloud industry is far and away superior technologically. That's just a fact that everyone agrees on. The costs are also relatively lower just because the industry has gotten so much bigger. But now many of the United States companies are just being left off these requests for proposals. And if you talk to people in Europe about it, they say all of a sudden price and perhaps technology is not the most important thing, but instead security and privacy is.
And in some cases, companies have actually lost customers, right? I think you mentioned Microsoft has lost the Brazilian government.
That's right. The Brazilian government, which is one of the governments that has been particularly upset with the United States over these revelations, stopped using Microsoft Outlook for government email. They're in the process of replacing Microsoft Outlook with a Brazilian email service. And all the companies have lost a customer here or there, but that's one of the most high-profile ones so far.
So how much revenue loss are we calculating here? I mean, I saw one report that quantified it at $35 billion by 2016.
There's one analyst that said $35 billion. Another analyst firm, Forrester, said it could be as high as $180 billion by 2016. Yeah. If you look at it, because it's not just the cloud storage industry that we're talking about. It's even the outsourcing industry. If you send data outside the United States to Bangalore, for example, it crosses country lines. And in that case, some firms might not feel that it's secure anymore. And so Forrester was looking at a wider range of industries. Forrester does say this is the worst-case scenario, and it's not clear yet that's happening. One of the reasons is that these companies are in multi-year contracts. When you sign up with Microsoft, you might sign up for 5 years. So we might see the loss of customers really growing further down the line.
And you mentioned this has been a bit of a boon for foreign companies, right? Because they're sort of able to say, hey, we didn't necessarily have our data snooped on by NSA. There has also been, though, some criticism of Europe's response. Some are saying that the governments of those countries are sort of taking advantage of a moment to beat up on the U.S. What are you seeing?
Right. So the companies are now using it as a marketing tactic and saying we are based. There's a Norwegian email service, for example, Runbox, that says your data will be stored in Norway and we will never comply with a U.S. government request. Now, who knows if they'll be able to do that, but that's their marketing tactic. And as a result, they said they've seen business increase a lot. What many of the countries have been doing, particularly Germany and Brazil, is trying to pass laws that would require all internet data to be stored in those countries. What that means is that for a Brazilian user's Gmail or Google search history, it would all have to be stored in that country. That's not the way Google works. When you do a Google search, the company sends the data crisscrossing the globe to all its data centers in order to fulfill that search. So Google says that if that law passed, it would effectively have to leave Brazil as a market. And there has been a lot of criticism that perhaps what these countries are doing is a new form of protectionism. Instead of talking about outsourcing goods, now we're talking about outsourcing internet services, and they're trying to shut off the United States from that process.
But can European or South American companies really guarantee that their own governments would never snoop on their data?
Well, that's a very good question. And there's these certain types of laws that also allow the United States government to ask foreign governments to hand over data. And there are agreements that says that the foreign governments will do that. So, of course, if you're storing your data in the cloud or on the internet, there is no guarantee that it's safe from any sort of spy. And that's definitely one of the issues here.
We're discussing how Edward Snowden's leaks about the NSA and government surveillance are hurting business for some Silicon Valley companies. Do you work in Silicon Valley? Are you seeing an impact from Snowden's leaks? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. This is a half-hour segment, so we welcome your calls. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. So in addition to criticism of Europe's response, there's also been criticism of our own federal government's response to this whole thing. I mean, recently, President Obama has embraced recommendations from a group that he will take the bulk collection of telephone call records out of NSA's hands. He's also said things like the agency plans to step up monitoring calls and emails of their own agency employees so that they can stop leaks like Snowden's. Is any of this helping to reassure customers that we're responding?
The tech companies say they are happy to see that Obama is considering it and there is some progress, but it's really a small amount of progress. The companies abroad that we're talking about leaving the United States tech companies for foreign competitors are not necessarily reassured by this. They've really lost trust in the United States government to the extent that they had it in the first place. Consumers is another question. We have not really seen a lot of consumer backlash against the tech companies. We've heard consumers saying that they're upset about it. However, most people are still using Gmail or still using Outlook because it's, you know, the way that they use the internet, and it's hard to find an alternative. So we'll wait and see how many of those fixes that the Obama administration does carry out. When he first announced some of the proposals, the tech companies were not thrilled at the extent that he went.
What about the new leadership at NSA? Vice Admiral Michael Rogers is supposed to take over. I mean, do you think he has what it takes to restore confidence in the NSA and deal with all the criticism that the agency
I don't know that I'm qualified to answer whether he has what it takes. It was interesting to see in his confirmation hearing, they focused much less on surveillance and these issues that we're talking about than on cyber war. And that's really his expertise. So far, we haven't really heard what he thinks about surveillance.
Well, let's go to some of your calls. Let's go to Andrew in San Francisco. Hi, Andrew.
Hello. I'd like to ask the analyst why she characterizes this as the Snowden leaks doing the damage rather than U.S. government policy doing the damage. Secondly, can you comment a little more on the situation in other countries such as Germany, for example, or France? I understand, and I could be wrong, that these countries actually lack a lot of the protections that Snowden accuses the U.S. of violating. They in some cases, do not have anything resembling Fourth Amendment protections. Or, you know, I don't know how that varies country to country, but can you comment on sort of like what the situation with data security and civil liberties and those other countries are, and whether companies really are getting a better deal by going to those countries?
So, Claire Kane Miller, are you blaming Snowden for the fallout that tech companies are feeling?
I heard that same response from a lot of readers after the story ran. To be clear, I am not placing blame anywhere. I'm trying to describe what's going on the ground. The analysts and the companies that I spoke to said that, of course, it's the tech companies are storing this data. If they didn't have the data, there would be no data to spy on. Secondly, the government has authorized spying on this data. But none of these things would have necessarily affected the business of these companies until it was leaked. None of us knew that this extent of spying was going on. The foreign customers did not know that the U.S. tech companies' data was being spied on in this manner. Because of the leaks and the revelations, they know that, and now they have a choice about where to take their business. To be clear, I'm not trying to place the blame anywhere, but tried to describe the situation on the ground. And Snowden's revelations are the reason that there's a heightened awareness about what the U.S. government can see and what the U.S. tech companies store in terms of data. You're right that there are different data protection laws abroad. The European Union is in the process of trying to pass a very broad and deep new series of laws that would protect data in ways well beyond what the United States does now and would make it very difficult for United States companies to operate there as a result, because the laws would be so much more stringent than they are in the United States. But those laws are going through the government process right now, so we'll see how that turns out.
Again, we're discussing how Edward Snowden's leaks about the NSA and government surveillance are hurting business for some Silicon Valley companies. Give us a call at 866-733-6786 if you have a question or comment. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. Frank writes, if the tech industry comes to be harmed by its having made users less secure or by its collaborating with government spies, then it deserves what it gets. Innocent people have come to significant harm by what tech companies have done. For instance, Microsoft collaborated with the NSA to wait a period of time before letting antivirus companies know about significant vulnerabilities in its software. Why? Because the NSA wanted to exploit those vulnerabilities to break into computers. Claire Kane Miller, I wonder, can you talk a little bit about just what the relationship is between tech companies and the NSA?
It's complicated because, as you'll recall, when the Snowden revelations began, the tech companies denied any knowledge of it. But when you looked deeper, the tech companies did have some level of cooperation with the government. What they say is that they only did what they were required to by law. What they're required to do by law is that when a certain kind of request called a FISA request, a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act request, comes through, the tech companies have to hand over the data. The catch is that those requests come through with a gag order. The tech companies are not even allowed to acknowledge that they received them. So all this time, they have been handing over the user data of a certain small number of people, and they haven't been able to talk about it. They have pushed the government to be able to allow them to publish a little bit more information about how many of those requests they've been cooperating with. But still, they're very highly secretive. That's the front door. The back door, though, is that the government has been tapping into the fiber optic cables that connect the data centers of these companies. Basically, those are the lines through which all these companies' data travels. The tech companies say that they really had no idea the government was doing that. They say they are infuriated by the discovery that they've been doing that and that they're heightening encryption. They say that they did not cooperate to that extent. The listener refers to something called zero-day exploits. Microsoft. That's something that the Obama administration is considering in this new round of proposals that we talked about, considering a revision of those. people who work in national security for our country say that those are really crucial to remain competitive in terms of cyber warfare worldwide.
And let's go to more of your calls. Let's go to Steve in San Francisco. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking the call. I just wanted to add another dimension, which I just wanted to pick up on the comment earlier about sort of privacy as a veneer for another layer of protectionism in Europe. You know, there's a whole movement that's sort of related to privacy as well in Europe called the right to be forgotten. And as a CEO of an app developer company now in sort of ephemeral messaging, you know, there's a lot of concerns out of Europe about, especially on the teens, being able to post something and having the right to remove that, which will basically put the U.S. and global sort of, you know, service providers to judge, number one, should that post be removed or not, and number two, you know, kind of making a value judgment on how that should be done. So, you know, a lot of the services that are cropping up in Silicon Valley sort of deal with, you know, taking data and deleting them sort of as a default, which is sort of what our company does as well. So another interesting dimension to the issue of privacy and security. It's not just Snowden in terms of national security, but sort of user protection and data privacy as well. That's sort of more comprehensive than just an economic impact on sort of national security and how it's hurting the Silicon Valley.
Do you want to respond to Steve, Claire Keane Miller?
That's very true. I would say that privacy is sort of in the zeitgeist right now in Silicon Valley. There are a lot of these new apps that, like Snapchat, for example, that have ephemeral messaging, messages that disappear, that you know they won't be saved online. I read something interesting the other day. After Mark Zuckerberg called President Obama, he's the CEO of Facebook, of course, called President Obama to complain about the NSA spying and the privacy violations that went along with it. Someone wrote on Twitter, and I wish I could remember who it was so I could credit them. They said, Mark Zuckerberg doesn't care about privacy. He cares about security. And we're sort of talking about two different things because Facebook, of course, has gotten into a lot of trouble over many years for violating our privacy, or so some of its users say. That's different than security. People post on Facebook. They write messages in Gmail, and they want those things to be private if they set them to be private. That's one thing. They're worried about the fact that the United States government has the technological capability and it thinks the legal right to go in and look at those, and that becomes security. So in some sense, these are very much overlapping, but they're also two separate things.
And in terms of security, there have also been arguments that you know, that really the data is safer with these larger companies, that they have the resources to do the encryption that's needed to ensure that it's harder, at least, for governments to spy. So if people are, you know, people have to store their data one way or the other, right? So are they any safer on a less known company's servers?
There are certain smaller companies that their whole entire point is to make it very, very safe to store your data with them. One of them was storing emails for Edward Snowden. And when he started getting government requests to turn over that data, he just shut down the company. So there are a few companies like that. But overall, you're right. It's very hard for the average person to find some of those alternate companies because they're more in the privacy and security sphere, not in the mainstream. And companies like Google and Yahoo and Microsoft and Facebook have not only the technical resources to do all of this encryption, but the legal resources. They have teams of lawyers who are, some of them used to work in the Department of Justice or the NSA, who know how to fight back against these kinds of things. So in some sense, they do have more safeguards in place than the private startups.
And we're talking about the economic fallout from the NSA spying revelations. This is a half-hour segment, so if you have a question or comment, please do call soon. Diana writes, absolutely, the tech industries are blaming Edward Snowden. Your guest may or may not want to say, but pretty much we all know the tech giants find him at fault. I put this loss of business squarely on the government and their practices, and also the tech industry's silent compliance. They all would have been perfectly happy keeping all this mum. We'll let that stand. And Kazee's tweets, what about the recent news that tech companies knew of and were complicit in NSA spying? We addressed that, but do you want to say any more about that, Claire King Miller?
I think he's referring to a story that ran in The Guardian. As far as I can tell, that was talking about what we already mentioned, which is following the FISA laws and giving information over through the front door. At this point, if we take the tech companies at their word, they'd say they did not know about the backdoor spying.
And we'll go to more of your calls. We'll go to David in San Francisco. Hi, David.
Hi, yeah. So anyway, I am no fan of Edward Snowden because it's been reported that because of his actions and revelations, which I don't support, I'm not afraid of our government. I'm much more afraid of invasion of privacy by big tech. Anyway, so because of Edward Snowden's revelations, it's been reported that now overseas consumers are afraid of Cisco Systems products, and so they've taken a hit, and that means my IRA has taken a hit, and as a teacher, that really hurts.
Well, thanks, David, for the call. And he raises an interesting question about, so yes, there have been predictions about how this could affect the economy in terms of $35 billion to maybe upwards of $180 billion. But what are some of the real on-the-ground felt consequences of the economy, the tech economy being hit on the overall national economy, on jobs potentially? Have you encountered anything, any predictions along those lines?
So far, the tech companies cannot clearly point to significant revenue loss. If things changed and got much worse, of course, we might see an effect on jobs. I think what the caller is referring to is that there was an announcement that Cisco would have unexpectedly lower revenue than it had previously thought, and that they could have traced that back. It's unclear whether it's directly traced back to the Snowden revelations, but it was focused on business in China, and there was a loss of trust in United States companies, and the stock took a short-term hit. So, of course, you know, one of the reasons the companies are playing an interesting game. On the one hand, they want to go to Washington, D.C. and say, our businesses are hurt so much. You need to fix this. We can't lose any more customers. This mm-hmm. is all your fault, Mr. President. Please fix this. On the other hand, they don't want to spook their shareholders. They don't want, like the caller's IRA to be hit. They don't want anybody to sell their shares because they think that their business might be hit. So when you ask them, so what did you mean? What are the specific business fallout from these revelations on your company? They say, oh, we can't really talk about that. So they're really treading a fine line.
But clearly this story is not going away. I mean, over the weekend, the story broke about how NSA spied on Huawei, the Chinese company. And, of course, the irony being that the U.S. Accused Huawei of providing information to its government, to the Chinese government. So, I mean, this is not a story. This is a story that's going to keep playing out in the press. So how are tech companies going to deal with that?
That's right. It's just sort of a steady drip. And it started as a major PR crisis. I don't think the NSA nor the tech company's public relations team had any idea this was coming or how to deal with it. They've really settled in to their approaches now, though, which is that the NSA is consistently saying, well, if the tech companies didn't collect all this data, then, you know, then we wouldn't have it to spy on. It's really their fault for collecting all this data and, you know, your fault for trusting your data to be sitting up there in the cloud. Meanwhile, the tech companies are pointing back at the government and saying, no, you have no right to come in and snoop on our data. We have the right to collect it and hold it according to our privacy policies, but you don't have the right to snoop. So it's sort of become a bit of a blame game.
Well, Claire Kane Miller, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We were joined by Claire Kane Miller, staff reporter for the New York Times, based here in San Francisco. Up next, we discuss the mystery illness with polio-like symptoms that's striking Bay Area kids and why doctors still don't have answers. I'm Mina Kim, in today for Michael Krasny. Thanks for listening.